Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, page 336 in your Schofield Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning with the 14th verse. We'll read responsively through verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23, page 336. Let's stand, please, and we'll read these verses responsively. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And let's pray. And Father, we, of course, are in need of thy very special help tonight. We thank thee for the faithful preaching that has gone on here for so long. We certainly, among all people, ought to be the very best of thy servants. Thou hast been so gracious and so good to us, giving us this place, this preacher. And now we pray that thou wouldst meet with us tonight. We pray that thy spirit would have freedom in our hearts and minds and with our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I pray tonight, I want to make a few little comments about the sermon. Let me first distinguish between the indwelling presence of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. When a person is saved, the Holy Spirit comes in him to live. Are you listening to me? When a person is saved, the Holy Spirit comes in him to live. I want everybody to listen now. But that does not mean the Spirit of God is upon him. The Spirit of God comes upon us for power and service, but the Spirit of God who's in us is always there. He will never leave us, but the Spirit of God upon us will leave us. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, the coming of the Holy Spirit versus the departing of an evil spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit versus the departing of an evil spirit. Before I pray, let me read for you verse 2. Listen carefully. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, at the end of the chapter it says, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now listen carefully. Two things happened to Saul. The Holy Spirit departed from him, and an evil spirit came to him. After the cure that was suggested, the evil spirit departed from him, but the Holy Spirit never came back to him. And that's typical of modern day Christianity. We're able to get evil spirits away, but we do not have the Holy Spirit come in. We, like Saul, because it is far more distasteful to the world for the presence of an evil spirit than it is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Consequently,
The absence of the Holy Spirit is not as bad as the presence of an evil spirit. And so our churches go through the motions, getting rid of all the evil spirits, but not getting the power of the Holy Spirit. And Saul had lost his power because when he lost the Holy Spirit and got the evil spirit, he tried to get the evil spirit to go, but not the Holy Spirit to return. Don't miss the sermon. Heavenly Father, bless tonight thy poor, simple servant who possesses a mighty powerful book and a mighty powerful spirit. So come in power in this room tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you personally tonight, not your neighbor, not the unsaved person who's your guest, not the backslider for whom you're praying. I want to talk to you, everybody in the room, personally. I want you to draw a little circle around you. Let me get in that circle with you. And I want you to feel like you and I are having a personal conversation tonight. One of the saddest things in the world is for a Christian to lose the Spirit of God. It's like a haunted house, like a lifeless body. When a person upon whom has rested the blessing of the Holy Spirit, for that person to lose that blessing, I think now of a preacher in the Carolinas. He at one time was a great evangelist in America, preaching many great citywide campaigns, and has preached in practically all of the great colleges, though not our college was not founded at the time. But one of the most blessed preachers in America. He messed his life up. I used to see him every time I'd go to the Carolinas. He might be in heaven now, but he's an older man then. He'd drive 200 miles to hear me preach anywhere near the Carolinas. He'd drive to Atlanta, Georgia, alone, always. One time he bought me a suit. Other times he'd bring me a bag of fruit. He loved me very dearly. And that man was like a haunted house, a man upon whom one time had rested the mighty power of God, but the Spirit of God had departed from him. Now he had rid himself of the evil spirit, and the thing that caused him to lose the power of the Holy Spirit was gone. But he had not gotten back the Holy Spirit in his power. I'm thinking now of a preacher down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I do not know if I ever heard a man preach with more power than he used to have. I have never heard a man preach on hell like that man could preach on hell. He's still living. He's lost his power. The spirit has departed from him. Now the evil spirit is gone, but the Holy Spirit has not returned. I'm thinking now of a preacher in the Carolinas, one of the most powerful men I ever heard preach in my life, not a nationally known man, but one of the most powerful men I ever heard preach in my life. He used to preach at Sword of the Lord conferences many years ago. I'm talking about over 30 years ago. And what a powerful preacher. Now he's still preaching. But the Spirit has departed from him. In each case, these men are like haunted houses, like a lifeless body. I'm talking to hundreds of people tonight in this room. You have no evil spirit, but you have no Holy Spirit. Oh, he indwells you, but he's not empowering you. There was a time when he did. And there came a time when an evil spirit came and drove away the Holy Spirit. But you got rid of the evil spirit and you're pretty decent. You got all the fundamental I's and cross all the fundamental T's. You're clean. You tithe. You come to church. You don't drink. You don't go to nightclubs. You don't smoke. You don't curse. You live a good, clean Christian life. So the evil spirit is gone, like was in the case of Saul. But you've never gotten that glow back that you once had. You've never gotten that glory back that you once had. I'd like to address you for a while tonight. It was a sad thing to see Samson. Samson had slept the night on Delilah's knees. He awoke and made this statement. He said, I will go out as at other times before. But what Samson did not know is the Spirit of God had departed from him. Now I want to say this, ladies and gentlemen, that sweet Spirit of God that caused you at one time to be a good soul winner, he's very sensitive. He will not stay if you don't want him. And he will not share you with an evil spirit. And Samson, he got up after a night on Delilah's knees and he said, I will go out as at other times before. No, you won't, Samson. No, you won't go out as other times before because you've lost your power. The honest, simple truth is, Samson, I see you tied to a mill, eyes out, blinded, going round and round and round at that mill. Samson, you've lost your power. How sad. It is said of Samson more than any other man in all the Bible that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now here he is, power gone. But the sad part about this, the saddest part, is that one line, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Those tonight in this room from whom the Spirit of God has departed, most of you don't know that. See, you have the idea that because the evil spirit is left, that the Holy Spirit has come back. You are like Saul was. Saul lost the Holy Spirit, gained an evil spirit, lost the evil spirit, didn't get back the Holy Spirit. But it's Saul. Saul did not know. And Samson did not know. It says that Samson wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Little outline that I used to use. Sin blinds because Samson was blinded. Sin binds because Samson was bound. And sin grinds because Samson was grinding at the mill. But now the sad part is Samson had lost his power, had lost the Holy Spirit upon his life, but Samson wist not. He did not know that the Spirit of God had departed. You see, many of you right now, you're thinking about somebody else. You're not thinking about yourself, and that's because you have no evil spirit. But the absence of an evil spirit does not mean necessarily the presence of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, there are hundreds of you, you have no evil spirit. You're good, solid, clean people. And you don't even know the Holy Spirit's left you. Let me ask you a question. What happens when you witness to people? Or do you witness to people? Huh? I'm saying that the great host of people in this room tonight from whom the Holy Spirit has departed do not know that he's departed. Samson wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Brother Moffat and I, Brother Moffat went with me on a trip several months ago. We went to a church. It was obvious that the Spirit of God had departed from that church. And it was obvious to me that the Spirit of God had departed from that pastor. I had been in that church 22 consecutive years. 22 consecutive years. I've seen that church when they ran 3,500 in attendance. I've seen that church when it was the fastest growing church one year in the entire United States. For 22 years, I went for 2 days. And now, step by step, I've seen that church lose the power of the Holy Spirit upon itself. But they didn't know it. You ask the church, how are things going? They're going well. How about the church? Church is going fine. But it was obvious to me that the Spirit of God had departed from that church and departed from that pastor. It was not a surprise to me to find out somewhat later that the pastor had gotten in a condition where he couldn't preach again. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that you do not know, the fact that the Spirit of God has departed from you does not mean that you know he has departed from you. It was sad to see Lot in Sodom. Lot, Abraham's nephew. Lot, reared by Abraham. Lot, sat at the table in the home of Abraham. Lot, trained and taught by Abraham, has his own adopted son. Now Lot's in Sodom. The Bible says that the angels came and told Lot that God was going to rain fire and brimstone on the city of Sodom, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot goes to his sons-in-law to tell his two sons-in-law to get the family out. And the Bible says that Lot seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. Seemed as one that mocked. Now, if you'd have said to Lot, you're backslidden, Lot would have said, not me. Lot did not know the Spirit of God departed from him, but he seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. You see, I'm talking to hundreds of people tonight. You're respectable Christians. You put your tithe in the offering plate today. You don't live in the world. You don't watch the soap operas in the afternoons. You don't watch the dirty primetime television programs. You don't listen to rock music. You're good, solid, decent people. Hey, listen to me. You come on Sunday morning. Sailors, listen to me. You come on Sunday night. You come on Wednesday night. And the tragedy is, in many cases, the Spirit of God has departed from you, but you don't know He's departed from you. It's sad to read 1 Samuel 16:14. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now follow me carefully. And here's my sermon. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Saul was the king. He was head and shoulders above all the people in the whole country. He was the fair-haired young man chosen by God Almighty to be the king. And the Bible says when Saul was anointed as king of Israel that the Spirit of God came upon him. But the Bible also says in 1 Samuel 16:14 that the Spirit of God departed from Saul. But the sad part is Saul did not know it. Now follow me carefully. Saul knew he had an evil spirit that came. He did not know that he had the Holy Spirit that had left. So what did Saul do? Saul had this evil spirit upon him, and his servants came and said, we think we can help you. Why don't you find somebody that can play the harp? And let somebody play that harp come and play to you and comfort you and soothe you that the evil spirit may depart. And Saul said, that's exactly what I want. He said, who is it? They said, this young shepherd boy named David. Let that young shepherd boy named David come and let him come before you and play the harp. Your evil spirit will depart. Now listen to me. If God's people would get as concerned about the coming of the Holy Spirit as the departing of the evil spirit, great and mighty things can be done for God. You teach your boys and girls, let the evil spirit depart. That's good, but somebody will teach them, let the Holy Spirit come. We teach our young people to live clean and pure, and that's right. Let the evil spirit go. But somebody ought to acquaint our teenagers with the Holy Spirit. My Bible says His Spirit shall come upon all flesh. All flesh. My Bible says upon handmaids, on servants. My Bible says upon young men and upon old men. I'm saying the Holy Spirit is as available for the teenagers on Saturday morning for soul winning as the ladies on Saturday morning for the foster club. And my Bible says the Holy Spirit's available just as much for the ladies in the foster club as the men in the fishermen's club. And my Bible says the Holy Spirit's available just as much for you as He is for me. You see, somehow we've got to get back to a fundamentalism that just doesn't all the time drive away the evil spirit, but gets the power of the Holy Spirit upon us again. We need something real in our churches. We need something supernatural in our churches. We need God to work in our churches. Not just a bunch of Christians to get simonized and pasteurized. We need some old-fashioned power in our churches again. I mean, where drunkards and harlots come and they're made sober and made pure. I mean, where lives are transformed, altars are filled, and weeping's there, and the power of God is there. I'm trying to tell you tonight that you need more than the absence of the evil spirit. You need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget I said I'm talking to you personally. Don't forget I'm talking to you personally. Is your Christian life just the absence of the evil spirit? I'll guarantee you, 50% to 75% of the people in this room tonight, your Christian life basically is the absence of an evil spirit. And I'm for that. But that's all that Saul did. Saul should have got... Listen, you can play harps all you want to and you can drive away melancholy, but playing harps won't get you the power of God. That's what's one thing wrong with our churches. We're spending too much time playing harps instead of preaching the old gospel of Christ. We're spending too much time on drama. I was reading in the paper the other day about the mega churches. Boy, I love what they said. They talked about the mega churches. That mega means bigger. Bigger churches. And they talked about a mega church in Houston. Runs about 10,000 attendants and so forth. And they got saunas and jacuzzis and bowling lanes and swimming pools and all of that.
And they told about that mega church and the First Baptist Church Orlando, Florida, and the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. They got all kinds of stuff, jacuzzis or lacudis or something, and all that kind of stuff. And then all they said about us, but this church, which is the biggest church in the country, all they said about us, well, and of course, they said, this is Newsweek magazine, they said, of course, there's the First Baptist Church in Hammond, a fundamentalist citadel for several decades. I like that. I like that. I'm saying, now by the way, all these jacuzzis and so forth, I don't know what they are. I haven't got the foggiest idea what they are. I think that you get wet when you do go to one, but all these churches that have their bowling lanes and they have hat making and all that kind of stuff and now they're driving away evil spirits. But you see, the truth is, we don't care if our young people. Are you listening to me? We don't care if our young people have the Holy Spirit. We just want to drive away the evil spirit. Somebody ought to tell these bus kids over here. There's the Holy Spirit. Of course drive away the evil spirit. Of course drive away their dope. Of course drive away their liquor. Of course drive away their rock music. Of course drive away their lewdness. Of course drive away the sins of the ghetto. But that's not enough. Somebody ought to tell them that there is a Spirit of God that can come upon them and give them the power of the Holy Spirit. So Saul lost the Spirit of God. And an evil spirit came upon him. He brought in, hey, I know where I am. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I left on drama, didn't I? Yeah, I'm not through yet. Or as I say in Texas, I ain't through yet. Yeah. Show me in the Bible where you're supposed to have drama in churches. Now, drama may drive away the evil spirit, but it won't bring the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about movies. In the place of preaching. Now, movies may drive away the evil spirit, but they won't bring the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about cantatas in the place of preaching. That may drive away the evil spirit, but it won't bring the Holy Spirit. You know what America needs? America needs to just to rid herself in our funny little churches of all this garbage of copying the world and making the church a second-class country club or a nightclub or a sportsman's club. And we ought to realize there's something more to Christianity than driving away the evil spirit. There's a need for the mighty power of the Holy Spirit in our churches and in our lives. Now, what happened when Saul... By the way, again, I said the saddest part. Saul did not know he had lost the Spirit. Saul had lost the breath of God upon him, but Saul did not know it. Just like you don't. Let me ask you a question. Have you lost the Holy Spirit upon you? You say, well, of course not. Saul didn't think he had either. If you had asked Saul, have you lost the Holy Spirit upon you? He'd have said, no, the evil spirit left. That's not the Holy Spirit coming back. Saul did not know, just like Lot did not know, just like Samson did not know, Saul did not know. Now follow me carefully. How can you know? Okay, let's see what happened to Saul when he lost the Holy Spirit of God. First thing Saul did, he immediately began to judge others. Are you listening? He immediately became critical. Immediately. Now, I'm talking about a man who did not know he had lost the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, Brother House, I do not know whether or not I've lost the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, have you become critical? Did you know you won't get well taking others for a checkup? But whenever all of a sudden everything's cattywampus, that's a pretty good sign you've lost the power of the Holy Spirit. Saul began to criticize. Saul began to be angry with David. And he got jealous of David. And why? The Holy Spirit had left him. And he immediately judged others. Bear in mind, he, like you, would have said, if he had heard this sermon, he said, well, that's not for me. because I'm all right. Why? Because he was substituting the departure of an evil spirit for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Something else. He criticized those who were where he used to be. Are you listening? One of the best ways for you to know that the Holy Spirit has departed from you, I don't mean that indwelling spirit, I mean that Holy Spirit upon you, is you become critical of those who are where you used to be. Churches all over America used to be soul-winning churches. They lose the power of God. What do they do? Do the same thing that Saul did. They began to substitute. Bring me a harpist. Bring me a drama. Bring me a passion play. Bring me a cantata. Bring me a book review. Or bring me an old-fashioned spirit-filled sermon. And bring me all-night prayer meeting. And bring me getting on your knees and getting the power of God back on your lives. Fundamentalism will not exist. I say fundamentalism will not exist just by driving away the evil spirits. You can drive away the movies from church members. You can drive away the dances from church members. You can drive away the card games from church members. You can drive away the rock music from church members. You can drive away the movies from church members. You can drive away the VCR movies from church members. You can drive away the primetime television rot and filth from church members. You can drive away the afternoon soap operas from church members. But that's not enough. There is a Holy Spirit who needs to move in our lives. So he criticized those who were where he used to be. All over America, I see people, preachers, have lost their power. They don't know it. Just like you, they would not say, I've lost my power. But they criticize those who were like they used to be as being shallow. They begin to study the Bible like a math book. No joy, no lilt, no amen, no hallelujah, no praise the Lord. And all of a sudden they criticize those who are where they used to be as shallow. And they criticize those who get people saved like they used to get people saved as being guilty of preaching easy believism. And let me make it very plain tonight. I believe that God has made it as easy as possible for a person to get saved. God loves you. And he said, if you'll know that you're a sinner and know that you're lost and know that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, and if you will believe on him and trust him to take you to heaven when you die, you'll go to heaven. Now you call that easy believism or soft believism or hard believism or much believism. Call it what you want to call it. It's Bible. I'm sick and tired of a bunch of dead fellows. Never go soul winning. Never build a bus route. Never get anybody saved. Pointing their pharisaical fingers at those of us who still believe in old-fashioned soul winning and say that's easy believism. Or they'll embrace some doctrine that will help them make excuse. Maybe some doctrine like hyper-Calvinism. Maybe some false doctrine like the last days are here and you can't have revival anymore. Maybe some false doctrine. They go to the charismatic place where you can be happy all the time over nothing. Where you can get a message from God without digging in the book. It is nothing in the world but exactly what Saul did. Saul said, I've lost the Holy Spirit. I have an evil spirit. Bring me somebody to play the harp. I want to get rid of this evil spirit. Well, America doesn't need to just get rid of the evil spirit. We need to get back the Holy Spirit. And then he became jealous. Of David. I was down in Tocoa Falls, Georgia years ago. The lady walked up to me. She said that she had one of those deep-set, spooky set of eyes that these self-styled deeper livers always have. Looked like they haven't slept for a long time. They walk up and look at you, and she walked up and she said, Reverend Hiles, you strike me as being a very deep Christian. Is that right? I got my eyes as spooky as hers, and I said, yeah. I knew it, said she. I knew it. I knew it when I saw you
You're a deep man of the Word. I said, yes, ma'am. I really am a deep man of the Word. Oh, she said, I'm so glad to cross your path. I'm glad to cross a mind that meets with mine. And she said, Reverend Howells, over there in Revelation chapter 19, it talks about Jesus coming back on a white horse. She said, do you know what that horse stands for? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I knew you would. I knew you would. First minute I saw you, I knew you'd know. She said, what does that horse stand for? And I said, a horse. She said, but it's a white horse. Does that white have any special significance to you? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what is it? I said, that's the color of the horse. All over this country, preachers have lost their power, so they turn to hobbies. They turn to deeper life. They turn to the charismatics. They turn to false doctrine. They turn to heresy. And yet what they need to do is realize getting the evil spirit away is not enough. Get the Holy Spirit back. Ask a question tonight. Are you criticizing those or where you used to be? Ask a question tonight. Have you become judgmental of others? I promise you that's exactly what happened to Saul. But if I ask you tonight, have you lost the Holy Spirit upon your life? You would not say you had. But the honest, simple truth is, Saul would not have said he had either. Saul immediately judged others. Saul criticized those who were where he used to be. Saul became jealous of David. Have you become jealous of somebody? Huh? Has all of a sudden everything gone wrong with everybody but you? And then I said a while ago, Saul tried to substitute for the power of God. Listen carefully. There's no place in all the Bible that more pictures the condition of fundamentalism today than these two verses. 1 Samuel 16:14 says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And 1 Samuel 14:23 says, and the evil spirit departed from him. Saul, in God's dear name, getting rid of the evil spirit is not enough. There were two things happened to you, Saul. An evil spirit came, the Holy Spirit left. Now the fact that the evil spirit leaves does not mean the Holy Spirit comes back. Saul, what you need to do is go out in the pea patch somewhere and get on your face and pray down the power of God again. And quit looking at others and look at yourself. Quit criticizing others and criticize yourself. Quit seeing the faults of others and see the fault of yourself. Saul did not know he had lost the power, just like many of you did not know that you've lost the power, and you think you have not lost the power because the evil spirit's gone. The fact that you're clean does not mean you have the power of God upon you. The fact that you tithe does not mean you have the power of God upon you. The fact that you come to church does not mean that you have the power of God upon you. The fact that you don't smoke and drink does not mean that you have the power of God upon you. The fact that you don't go to movies or bring them to your house does not mean you have the power of God upon you. I am against every evil thing. I am against every sin. I am against every evil spirit. But bless God, I also am for the mighty power of God's Spirit coming upon His people. As hundreds of people tonight in this room are saved and faithful to the church. And the evil spirit's gone. So is the Holy Spirit. And you think you're a pretty good Christian because of what you don't do. But oh, listen to me. There is a sweet and wonderful something awaiting you. I'm not talking about talking in tongues. Wouldn't give you a dime for that stuff. I'm not talking about the charismatic hodgepodge. Not talking about that. But there is a Holy Spirit who lives in you regardless of what you do, but will not stay up on you regardless of what you do. And that Holy Spirit, see, follow me carefully. You gave up some sin. And you thought that that would create a vacuum that would bring the Holy Spirit back. But that didn't happen. The Holy Spirit comes when you plead for Him and beg for Him. Yes, the evil spirit's got to leave first. But that in itself is not all. Tell you what you ought to do. You ought to get out alone somewhere. Just you and God. And you ought to look up and say, "Dear God, I've been looking at others instead of You. I've been finding the faults of others instead of the faults of myself. And I see tonight evidences that the Holy Spirit has departed from me. Dear God, I've gotten rid of the evil spirit. That liquor that came back in my life is gone now. That dancing that came back in my life, it's gone now. That rock music that came back in my life, it's gone now. The dirty television programs that came back in my life, they're gone now. The dope that came back in my life, it's gone now. The liquor that came back in my life, it's gone now. The evil spirit's gone. One of the great days in my life was when I began to realize the Holy Spirit was a person, a real individual person. And He became real to me. And not only was I simply a separated Christian, but I also was a Christian that walked in the Spirit. I'm finished. Look at me carefully. You see any evidences in your life? I ask you to let me talk to you personally tonight. Do you see any evidences in your life that the Spirit has departed? I didn't ask you if you see any evidences that the evil spirit's gone. I ask you, do you see any evidences that the Holy Spirit is not there? Saul, are you still filled with the Spirit? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But the Spirit was gone, and Saul did not know it. He became critical. He became judgmental. He started excusing himself for his powerlessness and substituting something else for the power of the Holy Spirit. Samson? How you doing? Samson said, "Fine. What you going to do? I'm going to go forth just like I've always done." But Samson, there's something you don't know. You wish not that the Holy Spirit has departed from you. I'm talking tonight to some of the finest folks in the world. I'm talking tonight to hundreds and hundreds of people, as clean as can be. Not one single evil spirit controls your life, but neither does the Holy Spirit. I recommend Him to you tonight. I recommend that not only you ask the evil spirits to depart, but the Holy Spirit to come back. It's an old story, but I love to tell it. This church, in the 32 years I've been its pastor, has not had one Sunday without somebody being saved. Not one Sunday. Even back in the early days when I first came here, somebody got saved every Sunday. Way back yonder, after I've been here a year or so, it was touch and go back in those days. We didn't have all the soul winners and all the buses. Truth is, at that time, we had almost no soul winners except Jim Lyons and me. I remember one Sunday morning I preached and nobody came forward for salvation. The old building that burned, I'm talking about 30 years ago. One man sitting over here came forward, moved his membership. I called home that morning and said, "I won't be home. I won't be home for lunch today." I went to my office and fell on my face. And I said, "Oh God, I don't remember a Sunday when we didn't have somebody saved." All the way back to my East Texas years in the little country churches. Have I lost the Spirit? Has that sweet holy dove that's been upon me all these years been taken? And on my face all Sunday afternoon I cried and pleaded with God. I couldn't wait to get back that night. I went back that night and preached to not many people, a few hundred people. Jim Lyons was leading the congregational singing. Way back up in the balcony is a dark building, way back in the balcony, a big tall man in a white shirt and tie and slacks. Walked out and came down the aisle. And as soon as he walked out, eight others came to Christ. And I grabbed Jim, and Jim didn't know why, but I grabbed Jim Lyons, my song leader, and began to hug him and shake him up and down and cried, "Jim, I still got it! I still got it! I still got it! Hey, Jim, I still got it! I still got it!" And I'd rather die tonight I'd rather die tonight than to lose that precious Spirit of God that's been on me all these years. Dr. David Gibbs makes a statement about me all across the country. I'm not saying it's true, but he says no man is preaching today with the Spirit's anointing like Brother Hiles. Now, that's not I'm not in a contest with anybody. But as long as the Spirit does anoint me while I preach, that's what I want. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. I'm talking to some people tonight who have an evil spirit. You got some things you ought to give up. You got evil in your life. I'm talking to others to whom the evil spirit has departed. Now, I recommend to you tonight there's something else you need. You get along with God and you beg Him for His Spirit to come upon you in sweet and wonderful power. Our Heavenly Father, this passage is wonderful. Wonderful because it so describes our Christian religion today. Evil spirit gone, Holy Spirit hasn't come. Speak to the hearts of my people tonight.